a special way, but we celebrate as Christians Christmas every day because we celebrate the birth of Christ every day. That's who we are. We're the Christmas people. But the same with Pentecost. We often just think about God, the Holy Spirit, often at Pentecost, but we're Pentecost people all the time, every day. When we go to bed, we're still Pentecost people. When we wake up in the morning, we're Pentecost people. So it's who we are. It's who we are. So Pentecost Sunday, though, is an opportunity for us to refocus on that. So that's a reminder that every other day of the year, yeah, that's who we are. And that's who God is. And next week, we'll hear a brilliant sermon, I'm sure, from Robert, about God the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's a bit worried I've put too much expectation on people this morning saying that, but I'm sure it'll be a great sermon next week. I look forward to hearing it. When I went back to church years ago, it was really important, I think, for me that when I went back to church that Sunday, I'd been out all night, probably to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, got up and walked to church. But as I said in that church, I thought, wow, there's something different here. It's something that I haven't really experienced in other places. You know, if I go to work, I don't experience it there. If I'm at home, I haven't really experienced there. If I haven't experienced it at the hotel or wherever I am, at the restaurant, there's something happening here. And I remember when I walked up for communion that morning, I remember walking up going, what was that? I remember going, there's something going on in here. And I thought, wow. I'm not sure what that was, but it must be God. It must be something to do with God and church. And I remember saying to a guy who was a churchy guy afterwards at morning tea, he said, man, now I know where you come to church. And I can just remember him looking at me going, what do you want, Brett? You've lost your mind. But later on, as I read in the Bible about these guys on the Emmaus Road after Jesus had been resurrected, they said, were not our hearts burning within us as he opened or explained the word or the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning within us? What I experienced that Sunday was the indwelling of God's Spirit, the abiding of God's Spirit deep within me. And that was the beginning of my journey to explore my Christian faith. That morning, I experienced something deep within me of God. And you know, as I took that journey, I can remember back to my confirmation when I was a teenager. And I remember when the priest showed us through the church, we did confirmation class in the church. He took us into the priest's vestry, showing us all the vestments and the candles and things like that. And I remember when he was doing that, something happened. I went, holy cow, what was that, you know? But I wasn't really open to it. But that morning when I went back to church, I was... ready to open that door. I was ready to open that door. As a teenager, I think I just sneaked through, peeked through, and thought, oh no, I'm too busy being with my mates, not with the heavenly mate. And then part of that journey, and then another important part of the journey, there were many important parts and still are, but one important part was at a conference, a youth conference, a guy, a youth pastor, an ordained minister said, we're going to sit down and we're going to open the Word of God together. And we're going to look at what the Bible says about God the Holy Spirit. From the beginning of the book, right to the back of the book. From the book of Genesis, right through to Revelation. And that's what this sheet does. We're not going to read every scripture, but I invite you to take it home and do that exercise to get your Bible out and read each of those passages as you go through it. Because it opens up your mind to better understand who God the Holy Spirit is. And it begins in the Old Testament with the Spirit of God just there, hovering, just waiting. And I picture this sort of mass of nothingness sort of thing, and just the Spirit of God just floating. Not in a scary way, but in an awesome way, a God way, you know. And if I say to you, Torval and, what are you going to say, Torval and?
Dean.
Torval and Dean go together, don't they? Like Vegemite and toast. You know, Vegemite and toast, that's the Aussie way. And in the scriptures and in our Christian faith, we have the Word and Spirit. Word and Spirit go together all the way through the Bible and through the Christian faith. So we have the Spirit of God hovering, and then God speaks. What do we speak? We speak words, don't we? So God speaks words and creation comes into being. Word and Spirit, and God does something. And then we see that God breathed life into humanity. God breathed life, Spirit into humanity, and gave us life. We have the fall, but then after the fall, we hear different people throughout time where God comes and sits on them by His Spirit, if you like. He gives them the power to do what He's asked them to do. He does it with priests, with prophets, with kings, but even normal people. We hear of an artist who had a special gift of doing artwork. Not something you'd think is something real holy, would you? But I remember one place where we've served, where there was a lady who had a pretty, you know, not a very fantastic, you know, rough sort of voice. But when she sang amazingly, because she wasn't performing, she was doing it as an act of worship. God's Spirit took her voice to a new place. I remember also another guy, a guy who became a friend he wasn't in the church, but came to the church, but he was a musician, a vocalist, a guitarist, and, he played in pubs and did gigs everywhere, but we discouraged him from jumping straight into the worship team because he would have done it, he would have got up there and performed. But as he took that journey, he became a man of faith. And I think it was Christmas Eve, he sang Oh Holy Night. And he'd taken that step of, you know, being a person to being a person who loves God. And Oh Holy Night at midnight, he sung Oh Holy Night, not as a performance, but as an act of worship. And it brought tears to your eyes. Michelle was at home because we had two young kids and she was still doing stuff for Christmas. And she said she was just in tears to hear his act of worship, because God's Spirit was helping him to sing a song of praise. Not perform it, but to sing it. So God's Spirit comes and works. But God's Spirit and Word come to people. So the prophet Jeremiah was given the scroll, the Word of God to speak, but it was the Spirit of God that emboldened him to do it. But also in the Old Testament, we hear that there's this promise, not just of the Messiah, that was a promise through the Old Testament, but also this promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father is the coming of the Spirit of God. So when we come to Luke's gospel about Jesus, the good news of Jesus, we hear, go and have a look at Luke, all these amazing things happening as there's a stirring of God's Spirit. Different people are having the Spirit of God move upon them because God's bringing about Jesus, who John described as the Word made flesh, the Word of God, who from the beginning of time is amongst us, and the Spirit of God in Christ, the divine Son of God, is at work. And we remember that John the Baptist said, "Oh, hold on, Jesus, I don't need to baptize you, you need to baptize me." But he also said that, "Hey, I've come to baptize with water, for repentance of sins, but Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with fire." And at Jesus' baptism, we hear that the Spirit of God descended and God spoke. So the Spirit and Word were in action. And God said of Jesus, "This is my Son. Listen to him. I'm well pleased with him." And that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And all through Jesus' ministry, we see God the Son, full of the Spirit, doing amazing things, forgiving sins, the forgiveness of sins for people, but also calming storms. He had power over creation. And this was all by the Spirit of God in the divine Son of God. But we heard last week that we had this ascension. It was a Sunday after ascension. Jesus went back to his Father's side. And we read in the scriptures that after that, the disciples were a bit, you know, concerned for their own welfare, because the Romans were going around killing all the Christians, all the followers of Jesus. And they were locked away because Jesus said to them, "Now look, guys, wait until the promise the promise from the Old Testament, the promise of the Father, comes. And then you can go out in power in my name. So these disciples of Jesus were gathered, they were praying, they were sharing bread together. And this, at Pentecost, the Spirit of God came upon them and filled them. And they were emboldened. They had received the word, the teaching of Jesus. Now they received the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, and they went out and proclaimed the good news. And amazing things happened. It's the most powerful and amazing thing to think that God gives us His Holy Spirit to abide in us, to dwell in us. And sometimes when we experience the presence of God, something weird happens, like, hold on, what was that, you know? Or we might feel a sense of heat, or just some sort of sense of, you know, power. And I've said to people, look, you when you feel the Spirit of God in you, you will feel something because it's God. So I picture an atomic bomb. When you see an atomic explosion on old footage, you see a big explosion because that's pretty full on. And God is all powerful. So sometimes when someone might be praying for us, or we might be praying, we might feel a warmth. And that's the warmth of the presence of God within us. Because God is almighty. God is all powerful. God is like fire. So that's where we get the heat from, the warmth from. We might have the sense of actual water flowing through us. I've shared before of the peace of God when I've had that need for peace, where the peace of God's just flowed through. It's just like a rush of water just flowing through. God meets us in our time of need, and He comes and abides in us, and He's there for us all the time. Not just on Pentecost Day, not just on this Sunday of the year, but each and every day. And that's why I've had that picture of Revelation 3:20 there for us, because we need to invite God in. He won't force His way in. He's not like some bad guy who wants to break through your non-prim safe door. No, he's a God who says, here I am, I'm standing in the door and knock. If you don't open the door, well, I'll still be standing here knocking. Doesn't get RSI on his wrist. He stands there and he knocks and he knocks and he waits. And if I'm not going to do it as a teenager being confirmed, I'm just going to have a peek through and close the door. He'll still be standing there knocking until I get into my mid-20s and say, man, come on in. God continues to offer that invitation to us. And as the Pentecost people, the invitation's a daily thing. And it's something we do continually as we allow God to abide in us. So just in closing, I'm just going to take some time for us to pray. And in this time, just offer the invitation to use your hands in this prayer, if you feel comfortable in doing that. The Bible says, lift up holy hands in prayer to the Lord. But if we're doing that, it's a sign that we're open to receive. You know, when you receive something, oh, thank you. You know, you don't go, thank you. That'll actually fall off your hand, won't it? But it's open to receive. But when we do that, what do? We let go of something. We drop it, don't we? So we're going to begin with a prayer of adoration. That's lifting up holy hands to the Lord. Then I'm going to just have an opportunity for us to let go of anything that we might need to let go of. A picture I had years ago was, you know, that sometimes we hold on to even the bad stuff, you know. Imagine a big armful of rotten fruit. And it's got worms through it, but it's our fruit, so we want to hold on to it. It's our pain, we want to hold on to it because it's, in a way, we feel like that's our story, but so we don't want to let go of it. But because our hands are full of it, you know, the bad stuff, we can't receive because, hold on, there's nowhere to put it. But if we let go of it, and give it to God. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Cast your anxiety onto me because I love you and I care for you. We'll let go of it. Oh. Wow. We're able to receive afresh, aren't we? So let's pray. Lord, we hold up holy hands before you this morning as an act of adoration and praise. And Lord, we come with open hearts and open minds to receive from you afresh your Holy Spirit. Lord, as Jesus stands at the door and knocks on the door of our heart, we want to invite him in. But in doing that, Lord, we want to release those things that are maybe jamming the door or preventing us from opening the door, preventing us from receiving. So if you'd like to put your hands down towards the floor, I invite you to do that. Father, we pray that you'll help us to let go of those things that are not healthy in our life. Lord, it might be our concerns, our worries, our hurts or our pain, our concerns for ourselves or for another person, for our family or our friends. It might be something that we're struggling with, which we know that's not healthy. Lord, let us and help us to let go of them. And not take them back again, but to leave them at the foot of the cross of Jesus. Lord, release us of those things. Let us and help us to let them go. And now we put our hands back up towards the Lord. Father, now that we've asked to be released from those things, we have empty hands before you, Lord. Hands of anticipation and expectation that we may receive afresh the promise of the Father. So, Lord, come and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Renew us. Fill, Lord, our empty hands and our empty lives afresh, that you might abide in us and that we might abide in you. Feel any emptiness that's within us. Give us the boldness that's of you. Give us the courage that comes from you. For you are our strength, our shield, our fortress, our stronghold and our deliverer. So we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.